This is Ronald Coleman, inviting you to radio's most dramatic half hour, Favorite Story. Sad treatment of writers by the motion picture studios is a frequent subject of discussion here in Hollywood, especially among the writers. They will tell you that they slave and strain over their hot typewriters day in, day out, writing magnificent screenplays which are slashed and butchered before the cameras. And what does the poor writer have to show for all his work? Nothing but a miserable fortune. Well, frankly, there is some truth in the Hollywood writer's lament. For it has been said that even William Shakespeare himself couldn't get one of his plays on the screen without somebody in the front office rewriting his dialogue. Well, this gave a couple of writers an idea. Jerome Lawrence and Robert E. Lee decided to do a story about what might happen if the greatest of all playwrights could come back out of the past to work for a modern motion picture studio. They called their story Mr. Shakespeare. And it was broadcast around the world by the Armed Forces Radio Service. By vote, it was the favorite radio play of troops in every part of the globe. Spencer Tracy happened to hear it and named this amusing commentary on life in Hollywood as his favorite story. We're proud to bring you that splendid actor, Vincent Price, in the role of the Bard of Avon. So if you're in a mood to go behind the scenes in crazy, charming Hollywood, I think you'll enjoy the next half hour. It's Spencer Tracy's favorite story, starring Vincent Price as Mr. Shakespeare.
Done.
It's the most absurd proposition. This is a gag. Nat Wolf sent you here.
I don't know, Mr. Wolf. You have my references right there. I'm not a fanatic and I'm not a fake.
I suppose you want money in advance.
I wouldn't touch it. Mr. Green, I've come to you with a perfectly honest, straightforward proposition. If you're not interested, there are other studios in Hollywood.
No. Wait a minute, Mrs.
Tidball.
Mrs. Tidball, what do you expect me to do when somebody walks into my office and asks me to put a ghost under contract?
Mr. Green, I do not believe in ghosts. The individual I shall recreate from the past will differ from your other employees only in that he shall consist of ectoplasm instead of protoplasm.
Yeah?
When this individual has arrived, materialized, shall we say, and you are completely satisfied, then you may draw me a check for $10,000.
Uh-huh.
You must understand why I'm doing this. My young niece, to whom I'm very devoted, will be ready for college this fall. I want her to be amply provided for. That is the only reason that I would consent to this commercialization of my talent.
How long does it take?
Well, that depends on a number of factors. I should say several hours. It's a great physical strain.
Uh-huh. How many people could you bring back?
Oh, just one. I wouldn't think of bringing back more than one.
Oh, frankly, Mrs.
Tidball.
Frankly, I don't believe you. But I'm a gambler, a little bit crazy, and this is Hollywood. You got yourself a deal. Your niece is practically in Vassar.
I've got a great idea. Have a get Boccaccio.
Oh, no. Boston will never stand still for it.
Then how about Milton?
Are you kidding?
In 14 years in the motion picture business, this is the craziest conference I've ever been in.
Now, look, guys. I know that this sounds out of this world, but somehow I have a feeling that this dame is legit.
Okay, Arthur. You're the doctor.
Can we get a team? Gilbert and Sullivan, maybe.
No. She'll only bring back one.
They could do a great hunk of stuff for the Andrew sisters.
Hey, how about Sarah Bernhardt?
She'd die at the box office. Get a name you can plaster on the billboards. Cleopatra, Helena Troy.
I say, let's get the biggest name in music. Beethoven, Bach, Tchaikovsky.
No, Meredith. I think that's too specialized. We ought to get somebody who knows theater. Every department.
You'd look a long time for a better man than Shakespeare.
Yeah. How about that?
He's lasted. You can't deny that.
He's a good name.
I'll buy that.
I think that's it. Shakespeare.
Hey, how about that? I know I'd come across with a good idea.
How old would he be?
How old?
Let's see. He was born in 15-something. That would make him about 400 years old.
Man, I'd sure like to collect his back social security.
Stand out all night in a room.
Some people have a very small...
Why did I have to
be... Arthur, what gold?
I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see.
Quarter of one. I don't mind standing here in the rain, but we can't keep these newsreel boys here all night.
We're going to see this through, Tommy.
What's she got in there?
Nothing, just an empty soundstage. When I left, she was just sitting in there in the dark. Now she'll probably knock on the door when she's ready.
Hey, Tommy, what cooks? Who you got in there? Yeah.
Fellas, I'd tell you if I could. All I can say is it's a surprise. The biggest surprise in show business.
Hang on to him, Tommy. This will make the cover of Life. Hey, that's it.
Get those cameras ready, guys. Hey, how about those guys? Is everything set? Here she comes.
This is what we've been waiting for. All right, slide back to the door, boys.
Wait a minute, Arthur. What?
Hold everything.
All right, hold everything, boys. Okay. What's the matter, Maury?
We've been checking up in the legal department. Arthur, you got to get rid of all these reporters and newsreels.
Hey, what is this?
Well, why?
Listen, the thing's a washout if it gets out.
Just a minute, Mrs. Tidball.
You can't write a binding contract with this guy. If Metro finds out you've got him, they'll have him in Culver City by tomorrow morning.
But how?
The guy's been dead 3 centuries. He's public domain.
Oh, I never thought of that. Tommy, clear these guys out of here.
Oh, Lord. Gang, I'm terribly sorry, but I'll have to ask you to leave.
I'm terribly sorry, Arthur, but ectoplasm just won't stand up in court.
Ah, that's okay, Maury. You're right.
Well, I guess I'll be getting back to the legal department.
Maury, don't go away. All right, I'm coming, Mrs. Tidball. Give me a hand, Maury.
All right.
Mr. Green, I should like to present Mr. Shakespeare.
Taking him.
The Beverly Wiltshire. I've reserved a suite for him.
Hey, don't you think it's kind of strange? He hasn't said anything.
Give the guy a chance, will you? Listen.
Gentlemen, I beg your forgiveness. I've been through a most harrowing experience. It seemed almost that I had been dead.
But you
were... Maury... How are you feeling, Mr. Shakespeare?
Strange. Quite strange. What manner of conveyance is this?
Why, this is an automobile. You didn't have these in Stratford-on-the-Avon, did you?
This is not Stratford. What place is this?
Wiltshire Boulevard.
Yes, we're in Beverly Hills.
In England?
Oh, no, in California, the United States of America.
I have never even heard of these places. In what direction do they lie from England?
Why, west.
Not Ireland.
Oh, far to the west, across the ocean.
The New World?
Yes.
But I thought there were only savages here. Do they know of this in England?
Here we are.
Now, you'll be very careful, sir. The sidewalk's very slippery.
To what king does this palace belong?
Come right inside.
Why, it's like day.
All right, go over to the desk and register. It's room 704. We don't want to attract any attention in the lobby.
Don't worry about his clothes. Any place else in the country, yes. But in Hollywood, they'll just think he's another dress extra. I'll see you upstairs.
This way, Mr. Shakespeare. The elevators are back here.
Elevators?
Yes. And now, I know that this is going to seem very confusing to you. I can offer no explanation, but this is the 20th century.
20th century?
Well, somehow we've been able to bring you back from the past. I hope you're not angry or annoyed.
Angry? Why, this is the greatest thing that ever happened to me. What an idea for a play.
Going up.
Seven, please.
What's happening?
We're going up.
Well, hey, nonny, nonny.
Seven out.
Does this contrivance also descend?
Yes.
I should like to descend.
Descend, please.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
That's very far enough. Back to seven,
yes,
please.
Yes, I like this. Now.
This is our floor. This is where we get out.
Oh, no, no, please. I want to elevate some more. Elevate and descend. Elevate and descend. All night.
Well, where is he?
You know as much as I do. We sent a car over for him at 10 o'clock. He'd already left the hotel.
It's simple. He's a phony. He got scared.
I got his name on a contract last night. I had a handwriting expert and two Shakespeare scholars over this morning to look at his signature. There's no doubt about it. He's the McCoy.
It's 1 o'clock. Does ectoplasm eat?
I don't know. All I'm afraid of is that Zanuck got a hold of him. Come in.
Hi.
Who are you?
Well, don't you recognize me with my beard off?
Why, Mr. Shakespeare. Well, where did you get those clothes?
You like them? I've been shopping. This doublet is so much more comfortable than the old-fashioned ones, and look at the colors.
Yes. This is the head of our story department, Bill Mosher.
Hi.
Hi.
This is the most wondrous town I have ever seen.
Have you had lunch?
Already I have had strange and toothsome sweetmeats. Nut burgers.
Won't you sit down, Mr. Shakespeare?
Thank you.
Now, I would like to tell you a little about our business here. We produce motion pictures.
Motion pictures?
Yes, it's a lot like the Globe Theater, Mr. Shakespeare, only we can do anything you can imagine with sound and color and music. And we could show the same performance at the same time in 500 different cities.
Nothing in your world would astonish me.
Well, you understand, of course, that your reappearance, shall we say, is of a very startling nature. Now, for your sake, we want to keep it quiet so that you can enjoy your return. We think it's best to keep your name and your identity a secret.
Whatever you say.
Now, while you're here, you're on your own. Write what you want to write anytime you want to write it. Now, we're sure that it will be box office.
The studio has a lot of confidence in you, Mr. Shakespeare.
Do you mind if we call you Bill?
I prefer Will.
Mosher, show our new writer to his cottage and introduce him to his secretary. We expect great things of you, Will.
Here's Act Two of Spencer Tracy's favorite story. We rejoin our star, Vincent Price, as he brings to life the somewhat confused author of The Comedy of Errors. A peculiarly talented woman named Mrs. Tidball has managed to bring William Shakespeare back from the past, and he finds himself under contract to a big motion picture studio. However, the Bard of Stratford-on-Avon seems to be causing the studio executives a great deal of trouble.
I finished typing what you gave me, Mr.
Just Will.
It's quite difficult working for someone when you don't even know his last name.
Oh, last names are a nuisance. I wish your name were only Anne.
It is.
But nothing else. I once knew a woman named Anne.
You loved her.
It was a long time ago. Here now, let me see that manuscript.
Oh, I like it. It's a beautiful sonnet. Nobody writes them anymore.
Oh, that's too bad.
It's so strong. It's almost Shakespearean.
What did you say?
It's like Shakespeare.
How did you know?
Well, I studied him in school. I've read everything he wrote.
You studied me in school?
I beg your pardon?
Where did you pick up that name, Shakespeare?
Everybody knows Shakespeare.
Do they?
Certainly, right here in your own bookcase. Here, look at it.
The complete works of William Shakespeare, illustrated and annotated. For the love of heaven, where did they ever dig up this stuff? The Tempest, Coriolanus, Measure for Measure, that old wheeze. Romeo and Juliet, say, as I remember, that one wasn't so bad. Twelfth Night, Hamlet. I used to play the ghost in that. I was sensational. Now, where the devil did they get a hold of these folios? I never even had copies of some of these myself. Look, look, here, in As You Like It. I remember when I made up this scene, it sagged in rehearsal. I thought up these changes and gave them to Burbage, and he memorized them. I never even set them down on paper. Oh, no, 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 this part they have wrong. This isn't the way we used to do it. What the deuce is this? Titus Andronicus, indeed? I never wrote that tripe. Oh, and you think I'm mad?
No.
I can't explain. You're crying.
What would my mother back in Elyria, Ohio, say if she knew that I was secretary to... You see, the only other job I ever had in Hollywood was working for Stanley Roberts on an Abbott and Costello picture.
Well, what's wrong with Abbott and Costello? I wish I had them at the Globe.
May I come in?
Oh, come on in, Mr. Green.
How are you doing?
I've just finished something for you.
Oh, you have,
yes,
huh?
Yes, here it is. See what you think of it.
This is poetry.
Great poetry.
Well, it's very nice, but we have no use for poetry.
You told me to write whatever I pleased.
Well, what we need from you is plays, screenplays, something commercial.
Plays? I never wanted to write plays. I'm a poet, a sonneteer.
But it's not box office. We've got to have something to show in movie theaters. Oh.
After 3 centuries, I thought maybe people would learn to appreciate beautiful words by themselves without having them strung on stale plots. I was wrong. Anne, take a tragedy. Cup of coffee, mine host.
Cream and sugar?
No, black. Very black. Spike, you're an intelligent citizen. I might even say a man of distinction. Suppose you were walking down Hollywood Boulevard. You see in bright lights in front of Grauman's Chinese, Romeo and the Cat People. What would you do?
Is Simone Simone in it?
Granted.
I'd go.
Would it influence your behavior at the box office to know that Romeo and the Cat People was based on an omelet by William Shakespeare?
Here's your coffee.
Romeo and the
Will.
Cat People. Oh, hello, Anne.
Will, everybody at the studio's been trying to find you.
Welcome to Barney's Beanery, m'lady, the Mermaid Tavern with a jukebox.
Where did you go after they finished showing the rough cut?
Anne, where would any intelligent man go after seeing that picture?
But everybody at the studio is very happy with it. All they want's a little rewrite on the ending. That's why I've been looking for you.
Just a little rewrite on the ending. And you know better than that. They should throw the whole thing out and start afresh. Especially that title. Ooh. The Capulet Family. I could take almost everything except the scene where Judge Capulet has a man-to-man talk with his son.
They want a sequel.
Oh, I'll give them sequels. Romeo's Blonde Trouble. Romeo and Juliet Haunt a House. Romeo's Swing Fever. Romeo and the Cobra Woman. Can I interest you in some black coffee?
I liked your first script. It's a shame they brought in all those other writers.
Have you seen today's Variety? The studio is dickering to sell my story on the radio as a summer replacement for Milton Berle. They want to call it A Date with Juliet.
Will, don't give up. You know why they do things like this, because they're afraid. They know these things work, and they're afraid to try anything else. But you can show them how.
Your lip rouge is... it's on crooked.
Will, you're 400 years away.
300.
Don't go back.
Give me the script. I'll fix the ending.
I'll see you in the morning. I'd better go.
What's her trouble?
She's in love.
With you?
No. No, she's in love with a state of mind. She hasn't found the body to go with it.
Oh, she's lovely. She's the kind of gal you like to write about. She's alive, you know?
You a writer?
I think so. Hey, listen to this. I just wrote it down. The jukeboxes mourn us. You like it?
Good line.
You a writer, too?
Yes. How old are you?
22. Oh, I don't know where I get off calling myself a writer. I never sold anything. But it's all there. As if I had it in my fist. Words and lines. They want to sing.
Do you put them down?
I got a closet full of them. But there's no beginning and middle and ending. They just flow. Nobody buys that kind of stuff.
Well, then give them what they want to buy.
I don't know how to write plots. Stories, that's what they want, but I can't come up with any new storylines.
You know why? There aren't any. Ever read any Shakespeare?
Sure.
That guy never had an original plot in his life. The Comedy of Errors is a steal from the Menachmi by Plautus. As You Like It is straight out of Rosalind by Tom Lodge. Hamlet's just a rewrite job. Romeo and Juliet was lifted title and all from a dull little dilly by Arthur Brooke called Romeus and Juliet. But do you know what he gave that old stuff? He gave it heat. And a few good lines.
Yeah.
You know what Shakespeare had when he was 22? The same thing you have. A fist full of words.
My name's Jimmy O'Neill. What's yours?
Me? Oh, call me Francis Bacon.
Call for Mr. Hellman. Mr. Jack Hellman. Telephone, please.
Ah, well. Good evening, Mr. Will. Welcome to the Brown Derby.
Good evening, Chelius. How are you?
Never better. You use your table, sir?
No, not tonight, Chelius. You can put me up front, right here.
So, we put you right here.
Thanks. You're holding my other reservation?
A table for two, Mr. O'Neill, right?
That's right. And, Chelius, put them in your famous corner booth across the dining room.
Ah, eavesdropper, eh?
No, I'm playing puck tonight. And I want to hear what goes on. The way every word from that booth carries clear over here is one of the wonders of Hollywood. What a great acoustical accident.
You think it was an accident?
Oh, they say there's Jimmy and Ann now. Be sure they get the right table.
Leave them to me.
Thank you.
Here we are, Mr. O'Neill. A table for you and the young lady.
Thank you.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Waiter, a menu for Mr. O'Neill.
Everything is set. How's the reception, sir?
Fine. Ann. Shh. You know, the first time I saw you, you hit me smack between the eyes, you know? But, well, I never thought we'd ever have a date like this.
You haven't told me yet how you got my phone number.
Oh, that's a secret. Let's order. They have pot roast on the wagon.
Can you see them from where you're standing, Julius?
Yes, yes.
Are they sitting close to each other?
Well, so-so. A foot and a half, maybe.
I'd like to order from the wagon, too.
Oh, we like the same kind of things. That's good.
What else do you like, Jimmy?
Oh, spaghetti, open cars, Joe Stafford, all kinds of things, lots of things, almost everything.
Great Danes?
Oh, love them.
Chelius, how far apart are they now?
Oh, 8, 9 inches, maybe.
You've seen a lot of couples come and go, Chelius. To your expert eye, Do those two look like star-crossed lovers?
I don't know. This young lady still needs a little defrosting.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Chelyus, I want to close my account as of tonight.
Oh, you're going away?
Yes. Yes, I'm going away.
Flash, they're about 4 inches apart now.
You know what kind of poetry I like? I'm a sonnet man myself.
Well, what do you know?
I like the real old sonnets best.
Me too. This one's my favorite. Shall I compare thee to a summer's day?
Hey.
Thou art more lovely and more temperate. Rough winds do shake the darling buds of May, and summer's lease hath all too short a day.
They're holding hands. No inches now.
The old stuff still works. By heavens, I'm still in there pitching.
Well, there you have it. An approximate idea of what might happen if William Shakespeare had tried to write for the movies. Jerome Lawrence and Robert E. Lee imagined this fantasy called Mr. Shakespeare, and Spencer Tracy chose it as his favorite story. Vincent Price, who always gives such fine performances, gave us one more in the role of William Shakespeare. Vincent, we've really enjoyed having you with us on Favorite Story.
Thank you, Ronnie. It was a pleasure to be with you here on Favorite Story. You know, a lot of actors have the opportunity to play Shakespearean roles, but it's not very often an actor has a chance to play Shakespeare.
By the way, Vincent, our listeners may be interested to know that your secretary in this Favorite Story was Betsy Blair of the Broadway stage, known in these parts as Mrs. Jean Kelly. And the actor who played Chilius, the famous head waiter of the Hollywood Brown Derby, was Chilius, the famous head waiter of the Hollywood Brown Derby. Our thanks to all the cast, to Claude Sweeten for his splendid music, and to Spencer Tracy, who will soon be seen in another picture from Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, the studio which films so many of your favorite stories. Next week, a special treat for all you baseball fans, Casey at the Bat, the exciting and nostalgic story about the good old days in the Bush Leagues. It's the favorite story of the baseball immortal Tris Speaker. And it will star Lionel Stander as the mighty Casey and sports commentator Hal Berger as the manager of the Mudville Nine. We hope you'll be listening.